Well, welcome. Good to see you. I'm going to talk about Collabora Online performance. And Collabora Online is awesome because it builds on LibreOffice tech core technology there. So a whole load of good stuff in the core. And I'm going to talk a bit about that. And well, let's get on with the talk. Here we are. So to understand how we've improved performance, it's really important that you understand how Collabora Online actually works. So in the browser, we have a whole load of JavaScript. But it's very thin. It's not doing document calculation, formula engines, Visual Basic interpretation, any of this sort of thing. Your files stay on the server. But we do provide these overlays there. So whilst much of the core is rendering tiles, little squares of pixels, and sending them to the client, we want to make sure this is fluid and snappy and responsive. So you know, it would be a madness to have a cursor blinking, require new pixels being sent. So all of those cursors, selections are done as overlays on the client. When you pan and zoom and so on, that resize shapes, this is done with an overlay. So that's all happening in the client side nice and snappily. On the server side, we have the web services daemon, which kind of multiplexes all the requests and ultimately is not very interesting. It has some caches in it of tiles and so on, but it coordinates messages. And then essentially the browser is talking almost directly to the kit at the back end, which kind of isolates and contains that LibreOffice kit or LibreOffice technology core. And this then renders the tiles and it streams them as PNG to the client. And it has this view of the whole document. So it's a relatively unusual way of using LibreOffice because it's kind of massively zoomed out. So you see the whole thing. So anything that changes, you can get invalidations for. And the kit really has then multiple views of that one per user. Those aren't backed by anything. You know, there's no pixels behind those. And we just render those as needed. And of course, then we have the user looking at it, which you know, has a number of cognitive biases. So we can perhaps make things faster without making them even faster, or even making them slower, we can make them look faster. So there's a whole lot of technology in the core, which is kind of cool. And one of the feedbacks we were getting was really around customer testing. We tested it with 8 people, you know, doing random typing in our IT department. And indeed, this was a use case that actually sucked. It turns out that one of the problems was just rendering these misspelling lines. So if you mash the keyboard, you can see, I've typed some earlier here below. You produce just a nonsense. And the spell checking rendering of these lines, it was the most beautiful squiggly line in the world, but at least 9/10 of the rendering time. So that's been fixed recently. But quite apart from the silliness there, you know, 10 times faster in this use case, is the fact that actually if you mash the keyboard, you can type 10 times faster than the average typist. So it's really, well, it's not quite 80 people that you're simulating, but it's too many. So not terribly realistic test, but we like to not suck even for unrealistic tests. Another thing we're doing a lot more of is generating JSON. So we use JSON to do all sorts of good things around the user interface. So we really want to be building the user interface on the client side so we can do all sorts of good stuff with CSS and theming and make it look attractive. But the problem is that lots of events generate these JSON. And previously we were doing this amazingly expensive JSON work that would just duplicate trees left and right and left and right. So thankfully Noel wrote a new JSON writer. Ultimately creating JSON is just like a printf, so let's stream it as fast as we can out, and that has really, really helped. Similarly, image scaling and rendering. You know, if we could, we would love to rescale and rescale the image as we're painting it. This is actually from mobile view here, where we run a LibreOffice kit and the WSD and the JavaScript all on the same device, but of course in different threads. And just loads and loads of time spent scaling and rescaling bitmaps, just absolutely foolish. And we had a cache, of course, to stop this, but it turns out that there were multiple sizes being used and randomly it was not working. But now we have this nice multi-resolution scaled image cache, and that's pretty cool. And it's massively faster, particularly when you zoom out a long way and you're turning very large pixels into very small pictures. That's one of the pathological scaling problems. And in online, we scale that cache, the size of the cache, by the number of the views now, so it's really excellent for lots of users. Lubosch has also tackled this horrible region compression. So there's an optimization here that notionally, well, saves time and space by compressing these rectangles of validation together so you can produce one nice thing. But this turned out to be, well, at least cubic in the number of region rectangles. And since there's quite a lot of them, This could just blow performance right out of the water. And so this should improve all large writer documents with complex invalidations, even in the PC version. Get print area. So every time we would switch views between clients, you know, or between users for a multi-user document, we were recalculating the print area. And partly that's because that depends on your zoom level. And we wanted to get this right. And so the row heights, a bit of a problem. But it turned out that calculating all of these row heights was really, really expensive and done really foolishly. So we have span trees for hidden heights and also for different sizes. So we try and store our row and column heights as well as we can. But of course, we were only iterating one of these, and now we iterate them all of the attributes that we need in spans, and so we can do it incredibly quickly. We can see row heights very, very fast, which is great. And lots more in core. Noel has been doing wonderful things: file opening faster, caching fonts for better text rendering, quicker scrolling, better filtering, chart rendering. I mean, everywhere you look, there's exciting opportunities to get involved. So if you're interested in performance improvement and profiling, we have lots of good things that you can come and do in LibreOffice everywhere. We also used to paint to an invisible window, 1x1 pixels, which doesn't sound expensive. But unfortunately, when you're scaling huge images to then paint them at something that doesn't exist, you're just wasting your life. So lots and lots of good things fixed in the core, and many of that shared with LibreOffice. So that's the core kit piece. Then we've got the web service daemon. Turns out that actually there's a whole load of non-obvious things here too. So for example, a standard vector of char is a nice safe way to allocate memory, and that's really cool. But the problem is that if you're shuffling down a vector in whatever fits into your SSL stream, so 16K is the maximum chunk you can push into there, when you shuffle 20 megabytes of image data out 16K chunks at a time and you're just copying it down, well, that's 1,200 times we're shuffling a vector down of 20 meg. That's really not very fast. And so we created a new buffer class that wraps this, and you know, we try and move it in sensible size chunks, lots faster and quite simple, with you know, some transient memory usage, but yeah, nothing significant. Another thing we fixed is STL on Android is unbelievably bad. It's really incredible that you see this on the profile at all, but yeah, so just deleting a vector of char seems to be doing some kind of loop to assign them all to zero or some monstrous folly, and the same for allocating. So it actually turns out just using, you know, standard C allocation semantics, incredibly quicker. Of course, you know, C++ on Android has always sucked. I mean, we've had to patch STL in the past to even make it work at all. It's hard to believe this, but, shifting stuff in the vector there, more expensive than scaling the bitmaps, rendering the tiles, all this sort of thing. So luckily, now gone. Quite hard to believe, but well, yeah, there you are. Merging key events. So obviously, when you type a lot of key events, we would be sending lots of them individually. And this, you know, can be a bit of a silly nonsense. Much better to push it in one chunk, and then, you know, you have that unified layout and rework of the screen. So if we're, you know, falling a little bit behind, we can then catch up and get ahead of the game again. So that's thanks to Tor for doing that, and also merging backspace delete events and so on into that to make the queue shorter. What else? Asynchronous save. So one of our problems is that when we save a document, and we like to auto-save regularly, we would broadly stall, because it was a synchronous operation, not just for the save, which we can do very quickly for small documents, but also for the upload to the file sync and share. And sometimes we work in very loaded systems, and it's bad if the load on the file sync and share solution is propagated to us. So now we do that asynchronously, and so we do that load and that save and upload broadly asynchronously. We don't do the core save asynchronously, but I think we've got some clever plans around that. It should be possible to fork the process and do copy on write editing as you move on, and save in the background and then close that down. But we're leaving that for later. So the bulk of the work here really was around JavaScript. So it turns out that much of our problem we thought was in the connectivity, or you know, or our scope for improvement was in the network latency or in the rendering performance. And actually, it turns out all of that was almost irrelevant. The browser is really the big badness. So, and we found that through end-to-end profiling. So one of the interesting things was just correlating our logs with the browser logs and going, wait a minute, why does it take 5 seconds to get from there to there in these weird corner cases? And yes, well, we'll see why this is useful. But we've got some nice built-in profiling now, and we push that back over the WebSocket so that you can get a single piece there. So if you triple click and help about, all sorts of debugging becomes possible. If you've enabled this, you can click performance tracing, and you can build a single JSON file you can load in the Chrome tracing that will then follow. You can see events being a keystroke going through to the web service daemon to the kit, re-render back, pushed into the client, and then shown. And so it's very easy then to help optimize those interactions. And yeah, as I say, we were mostly wrong. There are a whole load of silly things here, like just touching the DOM seems like it wouldn't be that expensive. But of course, this then pushes off loads of things that could happen. So I'll show you. So the WebSocket particularly was particularly annoying because one message is processed at idle each time. So in order to get the next message, you have to get to idle. So if on each message you touch the DOM in some way, you can easily force a re-render of the whole screen for every WebSocket message, which is particularly painful if the re-render takes, tens of milliseconds. And, you can then end up with a queue that grows inside the browser. So it doesn't throttle the sending of WebSocket messages at the server side. It just buffers them. So you get like 128K of queued up WebSocket messages. And yeah, that's a problem. And so actually, when you typed, you would actually see a render of each tile appearing, one per frame. We spent a lot of time, and perhaps you can see that in the profile here of tiles coming in. Wouldn't it be nice if we could slurp all of those? So actually, by adding a delay, we can make everything quicker because we can pull.